Some encounters with God are gentle. Others change us forever. In the dark of the night, alone and exposed, Jacob wrestles, not to defeat God, but to cling to Him. The struggle leaves a mark, a new name, a new identity, a new dependence. Faith is not always effortless. Sometimes it limps. But through the wrestling, God reshapes who we are. And even in the struggle, the Lord has made room for us.
Have you ever had this experience where you're flying in the middle of the night and you come to an airport that is not your final destination? You're on a layover flight. And you get there and no stores are open and the fluorescent lights are humming so loudly you can hear them. You're tired from the long journey already and aware that there's still more to come. You're ready to be home. You are no longer where you have been, but you are not yet where you are going. Sociologists refer to this as liminal space. It is the in-between time. It's progress, but not the destination. So it's kind of like a hallway or a staircase or a parking lot. You're in the middle of somewhere, but not yet at the final destination. You know what this looks like. This is kind of like the art gallery right before it opens, or the waiting room before the baby's born. You're there, you're anticipating something, but it is not yet here. Kind of like that moment when you're in an office area and you've got a whiteboard on the wall and the smudges are still there from all the things that you have erased, but it's not yet clear the vision that is ahead. Jacob had that moment in Genesis 32. It is the seminal moment of Jacob's life, that one thing that marks his life, the thing about which, Jacob, you perhaps remember most. And the lesson that we learn from Genesis 32 this morning might be the most applicable lesson we learn from the story of Jacob. Hang on until morning comes. Part of a series, a mini-series through the book of Genesis, the Lord has made room for us. And here in Genesis 32, we're going to see a lesson as God is working in the life of Jacob and might be teaching Jacob a lesson that all of us need to know. Follow along in your copy of God's Word in Genesis chapter 32, and I want to begin reading in verse 22. Jacob got up that night, and he took his two wives, his two female slaves, and his 11 children, and crossed the shallow place of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he'd not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have contended with God and with man and have prevailed." Jacob asked and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why do you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I've seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Penuel, and he was limping on his hip. And therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the tendon of the hip, which is on the socket of the hip, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. in the tendon of the hip. Jacob has been wrestling all his life. In the early part of Jacob's life, he was wrestling with his brother. For the last 20 years, Jacob has been wrestling with his father-in-law. But now, something new is about to take place as Jacob's wrestling continues. In fact, he got the name Jacob really because he grabbed his brother's heel in the womb. He's been wrestling all of his life, and in this moment, something new is about to happen, a pivotal moment in Jacob's life. He's left behind Laban, his father-in-law. And you remember when Laban chased him down and caught him, they set up a monument. They made a covenant together, and they put up this large stone. And they said to one another, "I will not cross this stone towards you to do harm." Might even be implying, "I won't cross this way at all." So on one side is the rock where he and Laban made a covenant. Before him is Esau. We learn in the 20 years since they have seen one another, Jacob was building a family, Esau was building an army. Jacob knows that with Esau are 400 men. And so literally, right now, Jacob is between a rock and a hard place. He's in between. Have you been there? Have you been in that moment where you are in that liminal space, that spiritually liminal moment in your life where you feel like you are only on a journey, but it might be that your journey is in fact the destination where God wants you to be? It might very well be that in that moment where you think you are just on the way, God has you right where he wants you. And what we learn from the story is the problem was not Laban. The problem was not Esau. The problem was Jacob. Now we come to a place where Jacob has perhaps never been. And God is doing something at Jabbok, the Jabbok River. Probably not something that you've been familiar with unless you've traveled in that area or you've read this passage. So I brought a map, and I want to put the map on the screen so that you know where the Jabbok River is. Now, we've highlighted the area in green. That's the Jabbok River. Do you see Machanaim? That's where Jacob was last week, two camps. That's where he saw the angels of the Lord and realized, I'm in divine territory. The angels of God were there, about 25 miles north of the Dead Sea, about halfway between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. On the north of the Jabbok River, Jacob wrestled with a man. On the south of the Jabbok River, Jacob will do battle with his brother. And in that moment, Jacob is alone. The text says he sent his family ahead, and they're there in a small area. Your translation may say a ford. It's a shallow area because the Jabbok River is not a straight line. It's a jagged line marked by high mountainous regions and a few small areas where cattle could graze or low water where a family could cross. Now, Jacob has sent his family ahead to the other side. Maybe he escorted them across. And Jacob has remained on the north side of the Jabbok River, and something life-altering is about to take place at the Jabbok River. Jacob's just finished praying to the Lord, sent his family away, and Jacob is alone. He is alone and afraid in the dark. Alone with his trickery, alone with his scheming, alone with his past, alone with his life story. This is dangerous enough territory in the daylight. But in the darkness, Jacob learns the real danger that has been pursuing him. All of Jacob's life, He has been lying and cheating and scheming to try to manipulate something God already wanted to give him. A blessing. Now, Jacob is wrestling for a blessing. We learn some lessons about this story that are true certainly in Jacob's life, but perhaps equally, if not more so, in our own. And so I want you to learn with me some lessons from Jacob's liminal moment. Lesson number one, God started the fight. I want you to see that in the story. The text is really very clear. The text says a man wrestled with Jacob. The text does not say Jacob wrestled with a man. A man wrestled with Jacob. That means God initiated the fight. Now, have you been in that moment where you've been wrestling with God? You've maybe not been to Jabbok physically, but some of you've been there spiritually. You've had that moment where you've been wrestling with God. Maybe you've been wrestling with God about your family. Maybe you've been wrestling with God about your finances. You've been wrestling with God about a job. You've been wrestling with God about a relationship. You've been wrestling with God and realizing perhaps God has been wrestling with you. But what I want you to see is God does not pick a fight arbitrarily. If God picks a fight with you, there's something that God is trying to teach you in the struggle. And we find this story of God wrestling with Jacob and the lesson that Jacob learns. It's a thinly veiled mystery in the first part of the passage with whom Jacob is wrestling. Look what your text says. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Now, your translation might capitalize the M in the word man. If it does that, that means that the translators of your English translation were trying to indicate to you that this is no ordinary man. We don't technically find out the identity of this man until the post-fight interview, where Jacob actually articulates the fact, I have been wrestling with God. Theologians call this a theophany. A theophany is a tangible manifestation of God. Now, based on how I understand John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of God has revealed him. I believe that every theophany in the Old Testament is a Christophany. So when Abraham was talking with an angel who was speaking in first person for God, I believe Abraham was talking to a pre-incarnate Christ. When the Bible says that Moses at the burning bush was talking with an angel of the Lord and the angel was speaking a word into Moses' life, I believe Moses was talking to the Lord himself. When Joshua saw the commander of the Lord's army, when Daniel, you see that there are four men in the fire where only three were sent in. Those are theophanies where I believe a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ. And here, I believe not only is Jacob wrestling with a divine figure, I believe Jacob is wrestling with the Lord. Some of you that are approaching my age will remember that old TV show, Touched by an Angel. Do you remember that? Okay. Well, this is episode one, but the title doesn't tell the whole story. Jacob's going to be touched by this man, but it's no angel. And we discover the identity of this man, and it is no other than the Lord himself. And the text says that the Lord picked a fight with Jacob. And God is engaging Jacob for a specific purpose. Now, what I want you to notice is for most of the night, Jacob does not know who he is wrestling. Is it Laban who pursued him past the rock? Is it Esau or one of Esau's 400 men who have snuck up to me in the dark? Did Jacob hear them coming? Did Jacob somewhere in the course of this struggle call out or at least think to himself, who am I wrestling with right now? Jacob wrestled came to that place where he realized that he was not just wrestling with any man. Jacob realized he was wrestling with the Lord. Some of you have been there. You may be at the ford of the Jabbok River today, wrestling with God, realizing that God has initiated something in your life and you're struggling to figure out what it is that God is doing. We live in a world of instant. We have instant tea, we have instant coffee, and we look for instant gratification. But here's what you find in Scripture. There is no such thing as instant holiness. It takes time. And something is happening right now as Jacob is wrestling with the Lord, and God is doing something, and God is going to continue doing something, even if it takes all night. He's going to wrestle the Jacob out of Jacob, and he's going to stay there until Jacob learns something that God has been trying to teach him for nearly 100 years. Jacob's probably 97 years old. And all of his life, he's been wrestling. Jabbok is one of two life-altering experiences for Jacob. We saw the first in Genesis chapter 28. That was Bethel. At Bethel, that's where Jacob had a dream. And in the dream, he saw the angels of God ascending and descending on a ladder that extended from earth to heaven. That was life-altering for Jacob. At Jabbok, Jacob has a different experience. Jacob needed Jabbok in his life as much as he needed Bethel. At Bethel, Jacob met God. At Jabbok, he saw God. At Bethel, Jacob discovered that God was real, but at Jabbok, Jacob discovered God's in charge. At Bethel, Jacob realized he's God of the universe. At Jabbok, Jacob professed he is my God. At Bethel, he walked away with a promise. At Jabbok, he walked away with a limp. At Bethel, Jacob realized who God was, but at Jabbok, Jacob realized who Jacob was. At Bethel, he was saved, and at Jabbok, he was broken. So Bethel changed his belief. Jabbok changed his life. We meet God at Bethel. We're transformed at Jabbok. Some of you are post-Bethel and pre-Jabbok. You're in between those two moments, the time when you first met God and the time when you have finally submitted to God. God started the fight. But we learn that God does not pick a fight for no reason. God's doing something. So we learn, number one, God picked the fight. Number two, we learn that Jacob won the fight by holding on. It's an interesting tension when you read the story, isn't it? You get to verses 24 and 25, and when you read it in the text, it looks like Jacob's winning the fight. Look what it says. When the man, that is the individual, the assailant, the one with whom Jacob is now fighting, when the man saw that he had not prevailed against him. And the language seems to suggest that Jacob's doing pretty well fighting this divine figure. And if you just read that, it looks like Jacob's winning. But in reality, what we discover is God is merely prolonging the struggle until Jacob learns what the Lord is trying to teach him. It's kind of like that moment when you're wrestling with your young children or your grandchildren, and you fall over and profess that they have won the wrestling match. That's kind of like what's going on here. The Lord could have ended the fight at any moment. The Lord could have touched him. Or the Lord could have removed his hand. But God allows the struggle. And the text seems to suggest that the way that Jacob prevailed was by hanging on. And I want us to see a lesson here that perhaps it relates to your life. Through the night, through the dark, through the struggle, through the uncertainty, through the pain, through the injury, Jacob held on. Hear the words of Jacob, I will not let you go. And Jacob is prevailing in the fight merely by hanging on. It is a desperate cry of a man who refuses to let go until he is blessed, determined by something that he knows only God can do. Because at this point, up to this point in his life, he has schemed for a blessing, but now he's clinging for the blessing that God can give. And it might well be that the blessing you seek from God is only going to be achieved through prolonged periods of hanging on. Maybe today you're hanging on. The problem is, too often we let go too quickly. The problem is, to what we want is God's blessing without a struggle. What we want is the goodness of God without any kind of difficulty in my life. But sometimes God knows that the greatest blessing is only going to be achieved in the wrestling. Jacob's alone and he's struggling and he's afraid and he's injured, but he will not let go. That's the lesson Jesus was teaching about prayer in Luke 18. Do you remember the parable Jesus told about the persistent widow who went to the unjust judge? Do you remember the story? Jesus is not saying God is the unjust judge. You've missed the point of the parable. Jesus is saying God is much better. The persistent widow went to the unjust judge, and the unjust judge said, I have nothing to do with your case, but she kept coming back, and she kept coming back, and finally she wore the unjust judge down. And he finally said, I don't care about God, I don't care about her, but she has worn me down, and I'll say, okay. And Jesus said, pray like that. Pray with a persistent kind of attitude. Pray where you are hanging on. Pray with that level of persistence. And Jacob prevailed all night in the fight because he would not let go. He did not win the fight because he was strong enough to defeat God, but because he was persistent enough to hang on. Today, you might be wrestling with God. Learn a lesson from Jacob. Hang on. We learned that God picked the fight. We learned that Jacob won by holding on. Thirdly, we learned that your past does not have to define you. And here's the seminal moment in Jacob's life. Here's the moment of life change that is taking place in Jacob's life. Jacob's name really implies something about wrestling. That's been his character all his life. It's going to be the change in his name. Interestingly, Jabbok is a play on that. It means wrestling. So now what you have is the wrestler is wrestling with God at a place called wrestling, and his name is going to be changed to one who wrestles with God. All of that is taking place in this moment as Jacob is wrestling with God. And so when the man says to Jacob, what is your name? Jacob says, Jacob. The assailant is not asking Jacob's name for his own information. The Lord already knows Jacob's name. Remember, in Scripture, names often describe character, most especially when names are changed. They're changed to describe something about the character of this individual. What's your name? My name's Jacob. And in that moment, something seems to sink in for Jacob, because that name that he got because he grabbed the heel of his brother, that name that he's lived up to all of his life because he keeps on grabbing for things, because he keeps on tricking people, he keeps on scheming, and all of his life he's been Jacob. And the man looks at Jacob, perhaps in that moment, pausing to look at him in the eye, and says to him, your name is no longer Jacob. Jacob's who you were. Israel is who you are. Jacob is your past. Israel is your future. Jacob is who you have always been and how everybody has seen you. But from this point forward, you are no longer who you have always been. You are going to be who God is making you. Who are you? I'm Jacob. But in this moment, he's becoming something new. Your name is no longer Jacob. That's not who you are. Your name is Israel. Now, there's something fascinating about the name Israel. The name technically translates God wrestles. That is the literal translation from the Hebrew. God wrestles. But look what the text says. Verse 28, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you wrestled with God. Now, wait a minute. That's not what the text said earlier. The text says God wrestled with Jacob. Here's what I want you to see about that name, Israel. Maybe you've never seen this before. It's describing this moment. It's a change of a life. It's a change of a nation. It's a change of a destiny. It's a change of a land. But it means two things. God wrestles, and you wrestle with God. And all of that is combined in this new name, this new identity of Jacob, this new personality trait that Jacob is now becoming. This is where Israel became Israel. It changed his life, and it changed the life and the history of a nation. It changed their diet. Did you see that at the end of the text? To this day, Moses says, Jews, that would be Orthodox Jews today, still don't eat the tendon of the hip. Because they remember in this moment, the Lord touched Jacob's hip and his hip dried up. And out of a commemoration, out of a significance of this moment, they still to this day have changed their dietary laws. And if you follow the Halakha, those 613 scribal laws, one of them refers to Genesis chapter 32, verse 32. In the moment where Jacob became Israel. And I want to suggest to you, if you are in that moment where you are wrestling with God at the Jabbok River, your past doesn't have to determine your future. Your past is not who you are. Your past may be who you have been, but it does not determine who you will be. Jacob, all his life has been Jacob. He's lived up to his name. From this point forward, you are no longer Jacob. You're Israel, one who strives not with your brother, not with your family, with God. God picked the fight. Jacob won by holding on. Your past does not have to define you. Note one more thing in the text. Your limp might be a blessing. It's an interesting transition that takes place right here at the end of the fight. Jacob's alone. He's afraid. He's tired. He is injured. His hip is damaged. There's no way he could run even if he wanted to. James Boyce, commenting on this passage, said, God doesn't always fight fair. You ever thought that? Maybe you're too spiritual to say it. Boyce went on to explain it. He said, look, the Almighty God of the universe, the Creator God, never does anything unjust. He never does anything unkind. He never does anything unfair. And yet, from our perspective, sometimes it seems like God does not fight fair. That's what Job said in Job chapter 9. Take your Bible and turn to Job 9 or look at the words on the screen. Listen to what Job is saying in the middle of his diatribe with his friends. Job said, he's not a man like I am that I may answer him, that we go to court together. There's no arbitrator between us who can place his hand on us both. Let him remove his rod from me. Let not the dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak and would not be afraid. Job said, God's not fighting fair. Maybe you felt that way in your life. But maybe God knows something that you don't yet know. When God touched Jacob's hip, the text says his hip shriveled, and along with it went all of Jacob's self-sufficiency. He will limp for the rest of his life. Every step for the rest of his life will be a reminder of Jabbok. Every step is going to point back to this moment. Worse, he's about to meet Esau, the one about whom he's already been afraid, only now he's going to fight Esau injured. That's what's going through his mind. I can't run away because he can't even run at all. But what about your Jabbok moment? What about that moment in your life where you've been wrestling with God and maybe you're still there today? Maybe God's doing something in your life. Maybe God's allowing a limp to linger in your life. Maybe you've been wrestling with God, and here's what you know. God's closer than you think. He cares more than you know, and he's doing something in your life, even in the struggle, even in the difficulty. Some of you limped in here this morning because you've been wrestling with God. That limp is a reminder of a seminal moment in your life. Maybe when we limp, we're at our greatest strength. We tend to think that people who have no limp are the people who've been blessed. We tend to think that if they don't have any struggle, if they don't have anything bad going on, that maybe they're the ones who are closer to God. But it might be that those who walk with a limp are those who have just been blessed by God, those who have just been wrestling with God and prevailed because they hung on. Paul said, most gladly, I'll boast about my weakness that the power of God might dwell in me. Jacob walked away from Jabbok this morning with three things: a new name, a blessing from God, and a limp. Some of you can relate. His new name meant wrestling. The very thing that he's been doing, the very thing he's been associated with all of his life, but there's something else there. It's not just wrestling with man, it's wrestling with God. This new name is a promise. This new name is a nation. This new name is a land, an inheritance, a people, a blessing. And for you, your limp might be a reminder. Your pain is not who you are. It might be a reminder to just keep hanging on. God's doing something. Your wrestling with God might not be your favorite way to encounter God, but it might be what God knows you and I need most. We need to run with endurance the race that's set before us. We need to keep holding on until the morning comes. We need to keep holding on even through the struggle. We need to look to God, find our greatest strength in God. We need to spend more than 30 seconds doing battle with God before we let go. We need to strive. We need to hold on. And Jacob named that place, I have seen God. And now every time Jacob passed by that spot, he didn't just remember wrestling with God at the Jabbok. He remembered, I've seen God's face. And I want to remind you of something very obvious in the story. If you're wrestling with God, at least you know God's close by. Hold on. The smudge on the whiteboard that doesn't seem to go away, no matter how often you try to erase it, suggests that there's something being rewritten. It suggests that God's doing something in your life. It might be the moment where God is forever changing your plans and rewriting his, and you need to hang on. God's doing something at Jabbok that might just change your life.